You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
On. Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9 and 100.7. And Paul, we are also heard on the web.
Sounds like you did it fine without my help.
How can our listeners tune in?
We are on the web by going to 1510wwbc.com or downloading our app, WWBC. Take us along with you any time of the day.
Samantha is here, and Ellen Little is, she's running a little bit late. She might be here later. Ellen, Samantha, and I heat up the airwaves every Monday right here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and we speak about things that are going on around the nation, right here in Brevard County, Florida, and all over the world. And Samantha, we have some really awesome nonprofits in Brevard.
Yes, we do. I think we should start a nonprofit coalition. So that everybody knows where the resources are, what they're looking for, and who to go to. I think that should be our next endeavors.
Yeah. You think so? I think so. Well, you know what? They could Google everything. No, it is. We have a really great lineup today for listening friends. We've got Miss Sandy Frimmer is here and Leslie Tibbetts, and they're going to be talking a little bit later about the Space Coast Women in Defense. Welcome. Welcome to our show. And our first segment is with, I was, you know, on Facebook, and I saw this awesome group of people who are rescuing dogs, and it's called A Touch of Gray. So I sent a Facebook message and I said, "Hey, I'd love to have you on my show." And Wendy Johnson responded. So welcome to our show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
And Wendy's going to talk a little bit later about what her is it an organization or is it a nonprofit or foster care?
We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization.
Right. She's going to talk a little bit about hospice care for the senior dogs, rehoming the dogs, helping the dogs who are left behind by their owners. You have a lot of data that shows how many dogs you're able to help and how many survived after being abandoned as well.
Correct.
So we'll chat a little bit about that. But before we do that, I just want to say, we should all say a silent prayer for the 8 people who lost their lives, Samantha, in yet another senseless tragedy in Georgia.
Another act of racism.
Right. It just feels so sad to see people losing their life in such a fashion because, again, of what I think, I can't even say it's a hate crime because I don't know what the guy was doing, but it's a crime against humanity.
Absolutely.
And I think when we wake up every day, all of us, at some point, in order to make the world a better place and leave a footprint behind, we ought to change our behaviors towards each other on this earthly journey called life. I mean, you know, we all learn from life experience. We learn from history. We learn from each other. We learn from reasoning. And boy, do we learn from mistakes.
Yes, that should be the best ways to learn from them so you don't repeat them.
Right. And so, you know, my friend Dr. Amasita Gibson, when she came on the show, she talked about the 5 F's, which is food, friendship, trusted friends, finances, and the ability to forgive. And I practice that. I try to practice it anyway. My kids will probably say no, but we'll see. But anyways, and I like what Wendy Johnson had to say when we talked about what they're doing for these dogs. It kind of reminded me of the most vulnerable population in our world are the elderly, in my mind. Of course, I'm biased. I'm a nurse, a long-term care nurse. And Wendy, I can't tell you how grateful I am to see people taking care of the animals in that way.
And we have been blown away by the amount of support that we've received out in the community once we started the organization and how many people were, you know, behind our mission to help some of these senior dogs get out of shelters and into loving homes, which is essentially what we try to do.
And you know, with COVID-19, I'm sure you've probably seen an increase of dogs who've been abandoned, and some of the families were loving families.
Absolutely.
So
we do a lot of...
I mean, what do you guys see now? I'm sure some of the animals are sad and as confused as we are.
Absolutely. Initially, when we formed with the intention of getting these senior dogs out of shelters primarily, because we just saw as volunteers, most of us were volunteers at the Brevard County Shelter, and we would see them just languishing in their kennels on cold cement floors. And you know, senior dogs, it just hit a little bit harder than the puppies that were there. And so that is why we formed. But, you know, we have taken in quite a few owner surrenders, and COVID did have a lot to do with spiking those numbers. We had a lot of reach out from local community members who could no longer care for their pets because they lost their jobs or their homes. And so we have stepped in and helped in those cases.
So how did you get involved with Touch of Grey Rescue? And the name, Touch of Grey, is it because the dogs do have gray?
Yes, we wanted a positive. That actually, I'm going to give my husband credit for that name when we were brainstorming. You know, I wanted a positive name for the rescue, but also one that alluded to senior dogs, you know, not old dog rescue or, you know, something like that. So, yeah, he came up with that name, and I loved it. And we used our 17-year-old lab beagle mix that we rescued 16 years ago, who has, he's black, and he has this frosty face. So we used him as the inspiration for our logo.
Oh, how cute. And you've been doing this for how long?
I have been involved in rescue in one way or another for the past 17 years. We initially adopted our first dog from a rescue, and that put us on an email list that the founder of that rescue would email for help. And we've got an email shortly thereafter about these puppies who were freezing cold outside. This was in Syracuse, New York. And asked if we could help and go pick up these puppies and find fosters. So we did that. And that started our career in animal rescue. And that was 17 years ago. Since then, I've fostered for various other organizations. We moved to Florida in 2015. I started volunteering at the local shelter and forming relationships in the rescue community with other animal advocates and volunteers, and we all saw a need here. So that's how we began.
And so do you have a lot of animals that come in who are abused and neglected as well?
We pull, I would say, if I had to estimate, probably 70% of the dogs we pull into our rescue and place into foster homes come from shelters, specifically the South Animal Care Center in Brevard, Orange County Animal Shelter in Orlando, Seminole County and Palm Beach Animal Control are the four shelters that we primarily partner with to pull dogs who have, yes, been neglected and or abused and or found stray or surrendered by their owners.
So if somebody wanted to get involved with the Touch of Grey, how would they contact you? And can you give us your website?
Absolutely. Our website address is www.touchofgreyrescue.com, and that's Grey with an E. And then my email is just Wendy with a Y at touchofgreyrescue.com.
Right. And where do you find volunteers to help with the rescue dogs or even to foster the dogs?
Yeah, our Facebook page really is what, you know, just spun us to another level. And there are so many rescuers, advocates, and just people wanting to help. And, you know, whenever we need something, post and pray, you know, post and put it out there in the universe, ask. And it's unbelievable to us the amount of support we've gathered through
it's
that
avenue. It's
amazing
how social media works for something like this.
It is such a positive
avenue for
this.
Like, that's how I found you, because
yes.
I was looking at it and I saw where you guys had rescued some dogs who were neglected. And then I saw where families had just abandoned the dogs. And then I saw where, because of COVID-19, people couldn't feed themselves and house themselves, much less to take care of an animal. And it's heartbreaking because I'm not a dog lover per se. Mm-hmm. We've had cats. My husband is a lover of all animals. Mm-hmm. He believes they have just as much of a right on the planet as we do.
Absolutely.
And so he would do anything to rescue and help animals. But it broke my heart to see, because I put myself in the place of the dog, and they do cry. They have feelings.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. What's amazing is when you foster a dog, and we always need fosters. So, you know, we love when people apply to foster. That is the backbone and the only way we can do what we do. And when you bring a dog in your home, there's this period of, you know, they're initially stressed, confused. You're trying to figure them out. You know, we always say there's about a 30-day decompression stage that all of these animals go through when and some more than others. Some are fine, you know, and just come into their own within a matter of hours or days. But others, it can take a while to settle into a new environment and to feel comfortable and safe again.
I have a question for you. What kind of dogs do you rescue and how does it work?
We rescue really, so we are senior dogs, so 7 years and older. And if a dog is 7 years and older and needs our help, we, you know, it doesn't matter to us what size, breed, medical condition. We have rescued, you know, dogs in their last final dying days to bring them into a comfortable, warm home environment in order to allow them to pass pain-free and surrounded by love as opposed to in a cold shelter environment. We have rescued dogs that are 7 years old and have a ton of life left and that are healthy as can be. So really, if we have a foster and we have the finances to support their medical care, we won't say no.
How many dogs have you guys fostered so far?
So far, we have to date, since starting in February of 2019, we have saved 210 dogs.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And what kind of dog? Is there a specific breed that you see more of?
Everything from Chihuahuas to Pit Bulls and anything in between. You know, I'm a bigger dog lover myself, but I take in the small ones and I love them and they yip and yap in my house until I find them a foster. So yeah, to us, you know, we're just lovers of animals and, you know, specifically dogs, and don't have a breed allegiance.
So with so many nonprofits in Brevard, and everybody have such a good heart and everybody wants to donate their time, energy, and effort, how does your Touch of Grace stand out besides being taking care of the animals? Do you find that people are drawn more towards helping the animals?
I do, and I think the senior dog niche has been successful for us. You know, when I thought about starting a dog rescue, and there are other dog rescues in Brevard, there are cat rescues, there are all sorts of other rescue organizations that do amazing work. But I thought, you know, that's what's missing. We don't have an organization specifically focused on helping the seniors, and they need the most help.
Helping the seniors, it sounds like humans.
Yeah.
So do you have people that volunteer their time, professional help, to help the dogs emotionally? Because I would think you need like a therapist at some point when some of the dogs get to that point.
We have some trainers that we have worked with, yes, because there are some dogs that, because of previous baggage, you know, do have behaviors that need modification. So we do enlist the help of trainers. We have amazing vet partnerships. Vets have come out to help us, specifically Dr. Kehoe. I'd like to give her a shout out.
Yeah, please do.
Kehoe Animal Clinic in Rockledge. She's been wonderful. She's actually done some surgeries for us pro bono. She's just been an amazing resource and help to us, as well as Highlands Animal Hospital in Sebastian. We've utilized Aloha Beachside, and we are starting to partner with Maybeck as well. So it takes more than a village, you know, to do what we're doing, and a lot of people have contributed and stepped up and helped in so many ways.
So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Wendy Johnson. You have such a name like an actress. Wendy Johnson. And Wendy has 17 years of experience volunteering for various dog rescue organizations. And you have fostered over 100 dogs in and out of your home?
Correct. Yes, in the past 17 years. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm lucky my
You're
husband
lucky
stays married to
likes,
me. Yes.
Like dogs, too. So you moved here from, you moved to Florida from Syracuse, New York in 2015. You became a volunteer, and then you started this organization, Touch of Grey. So tell our listeners a little bit, this is not all that you do. You also have a full-time job. For the people that say, my God, I don't have the time, you make the time.
You make the time, yes. And we are very busy. And, you know, one of my partners and co-founders, Leslie, always says, you know, the busier you are, the more you get accomplished and the more inspired you get. And it's just, it's a snowball. And we're all passionate about what we do. So when you love what you do and you have the passion and you see the need, then you make the time.
It's almost like people who are busy, they enjoy being busy.
Yeah.
I know.
Yes,
I enjoy it. Like I make a list and of all the things I have to do for the day. And at the end of the day, I feel quite accomplished. But I feel like once you start using your time wisely and you find your purpose on earth, if you lose 10 minutes, it's 10 minutes too much that you didn't do something right. except if you're sleeping.
Yeah.
Right? So tell our listeners, you know, you obviously need funds to help the shelter, the fostering.
Absolutely.
What can they do if somebody doesn't have money? What else can they do to help?
Fostering and donations are definitely the primary, resources that we capitalize on. That being said, we use people to transport dogs, to pick them up from shelters, to bring them to their new foster homes. We call that our doggy Uber service for their freedom rides. And we also, can use any kind of gently used, orthopedic beds. We've had people reach out to us who had recently lost their pets and donated beds, leashes, bowls, collars. We'll take those items as well. And
do you take food donations as well?
Absolutely. Yes, food donations. Anything that our fosters and dogs could benefit from, we would accept. We also have a garage sale coming up April 17th that one of our volunteers will be hosting for a fundraiser. We always need help with fundraising. We're actually in search of a grant writer. That would be huge so that we could secure more funding. So there's a million ways you can help. And
well, politicians like dogs.
Yeah.
We know a lot of them like dogs. And so this, you formed this group in 2019. And it's a lot of responsibilities, but I like what you said. It's 51% brain and 49% heart.
Yes.
But you also help the dogs. I mean, euthanasia, we know a lot of people can't do it, but you've saved a lot of dogs from being put down.
Yeah, absolutely. Senior dogs are at a much higher risk of euthanasia at these shelters. A lot of them need medical care. 75% of our dogs either need a tumor removed, a dental with tooth extractions, heartworm disease treatments, or masses. There's just a lot going on as you age, in their bodies.
It's just like humans, right?
Yeah.
What city is your nonprofit out of?
We are in Brevard County. So Melbourne Beach is where we filed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead and look into the city of Melbourne. They do have assistance for nonprofits. They just got a couple of $1 million more in CARES Act money. So definitely, I recommend looking into the county and also the city of Melbourne.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we can talk to our friend, one of the commissioners. Yeah,
absolutely. So, that would be wonderful.
So you also implement processes and structure around the nonprofit where you do the intake, the fostering, adoption, tracking the software, events, fundraising, more. Tell us a little bit about the events. You have the fundraiser coming up, the garage sale.
We do, yes. And we also have some other events on our website. If you go to our website, they are listed under the events page. We have a Bark and Brew and Cocoa Village coming up. We have a Spring Fling event that we are attending. A lot of the community events we attend and we bring our booth. My mom actually makes t-shirts and tank tops with these cute little sayings and our logo on the back. So we sell those to raise funds. We have a volunteer team that makes wine glasses with cute little dog sayings on that we sell.
How cute. People look crazy about it. I know my husband is crazy about it.
My mom is crazy about it all.
But so your husband and yourself, you also foster these dogs, but you also foster, you have children?
Yes, children? Yes. We were licensed.
I'm reading it. I'm like, yeah. I thought I read that. I'm like,
she's
two-leggers. Right. Two-leggers. Yeah. We call them our two-leggers.
So your two daughters are foster children as
yes,
well.
Yes, yes.
You have a big heart.
Aw,
God bless you. That is so. It's wonderful when you see such a need in the community for something, and you do because you inspire other people to do it as well.
And I think like I said, I think a lot of people just don't know where to start. And once they have an avenue to donate their time and energy and money to that they believe in,
You also wrote a book about a dog.
I did.
Tell us about you. I mean, she's, you know what I like about you?
I'm all over the place, aren't I?
You remind me a lot of, when I speak to people in our nursing homes who are now, bed bound or that's their final rest place before the good Lord takes them home, right? They had so many dreams and aspirations to do stuff, but people just don't get around to doing their stuff.
Yeah.
Because they get busy. Life is busy,
yes,
right?
Yes.
But for the ones who've done it, they're like, nurse, well, let me tell you about how I did this and I did that. And I wrote a book and I dance, and I was on Broadway, and I was a model, and I was a flight attendant, and I'm like, they're talking to me.
Who, yeah.
I have a million hats.
Right.
So you also, did you write your book before you started doing
When I started Rescue, it's funny, it kind of all kind of came together. You know, I was writing these stories for our Facebook page, and as I'm writing these stories, I'm like, God, we have a lot of great stories here of these dogs and redemption and the people involved, and the and I thought, wouldn't this be cool to kind of translate this into a children's book series based on actual rescue tales? And I had that thought in the back of my head for a year and a half before I sat down and said, okay, let's do this. And our special needs narcoleptic American bully dog, Farkle, is the inspiration for the first book.
Narcoleptic.
He is narcoleptic, so he falls asleep.
Poor thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Adorable. It's hilariously adorable.
I know humans that fall asleep all the time.
And we don't feel bad for him because he could care less, you know. It's one of those things. He's imperfectly perfect in his own little way, and he actually came to us as a foster, and my husband said, we are not letting this dog go. And that is one out of, you know, 200 dogs that he has been exposed to in our 15 years.
There's
that he
medication
said, I want to keep
right?
this one.
There's medication to help when they're falling asleep like that.
There are medications,
but expensive.
Well, we tried one of them, and it almost changed his personality, and we thought, you know what? Let's let him be. You know, it's not bothering him. He takes naps. That's okay.
So here's the thing. Have you ever gotten bit by a dog? I know that's my fear, is when I was like 8 years old, I got bitten by a dog, and because of that, I'm afraid of dogs.
Yes.
How do you get over that fear?
Yes. What,
2 minutes left, Paul?
So I worked in the shelter, and I did get bit by a dog, and believe it or not, it was not a pit bull. So I am a big pit bull advocate, and, you know, all these people are scared of being bitten by pit bulls, and I got to tell you, those chihuahuas will get you
every time. Yeah.
That's the only time I've been bitten by a dog, by a chihuahua. Yeah.
So, I mean, so what is it about you that you see the dogs, you take them in, then you have the nonprofit, husband is involved, circle of friends are involved. How can you take your life experience and inspire someone who's listening today to foster a dog or get involved in something that they have a passion for?
Absolutely. I mean, fostering would be wonderful. But like you said, anything you have a passion for. And I would just suggest start off a little bit at a time. And I know for me, for example, even writing a children's book, I didn't know the first thing about it, and self-publishing and finding an illustrator. And it seemed to be too much, you know, biting off more I can chew. But research it, you know, start one step at a time. I think that's what you need to do, is break it down into attainable goals that you can accomplish.
Here's a great little question for you. Do you offer volunteer hours for Bright Futures?
We right now we do not, only because we do not have a physical location. So it's difficult for us to get a volunteer program with no place for these kids to go.
Okay.
That said, that is one of our goals for 2021, is to get a physical location that we can use to kind of be a storefront for our merchandise, and also meet and greet and volunteer for the animals.
Well, I'll give you an extra minute to quickly tell us what's next for Touch of Grey.
Hopefully continuing to grow, continuing to save more dogs. We saved 84 our first year. We saved 110
Brevard,
our second
right
year.
Here in Brevard?
Yeah, Brevard and Orange counties, yes.
Have you spoken with Sheriff Ivy about all this? Because he's also saving animals
as well. Big time into saving doggies.
Yes, that is the public perception. There are some struggles with bureaucracy in the shelter and how it's run. And, you know, there's a lot of detail that I can't go into on that. But
you're
I know he is doing his thing,
yeah.
and we're actually helping to support that by pulling the dogs out of his shelter.
Right.
So we're helping his numbers in that.
Well,
regard.
You're all about taking care of the dogs and giving them love and a place to live the rest of their lives, and giving them to families who can love and take care of them.
Absolutely.
Right. And for that, we will do what we can. We'll have Ellen put it on our website. So just give us your website one more time, and then we'll go to a commercial break on our second segment.
Thank you so much for having me. It's www.touchofgrayrescue.com. That's Gray with an E.
Okay. Well, Paul, take it away.
Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super Savings Sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud 9, that's Cloud number 9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9. Mattress and furniture. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Champion Home Healthcare, keeping your loved one happy, healthy, and at home. Available at 321-306-2551. Once again, 321-306-2551. Champion Home Healthcare is ACHC accredited and licensed, Medicare certified, and a TRICARE provider. Champion Home Healthcare, 306-2551. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on three FM stations, 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, 1 AM, WWBC 1510, and online, on demand, all the time. Paul is looking at me, and I'm looking at Paul, and our show is doing really good today. First segment was really, really wonderful. We had Wendy Johnson on, who talked about rescuing and fostering senior dogs, and we're going to put that on our website so we can help get a little bit of funding for them. And maybe we have friends who do love animals and have some time, and they could donate their time, energy, and effort. Our second segment is with the Space Ghost Woman in Defense, and we have Sandy Frimmer, Silent P, and Leslie Tibbetts here. Welcome, ladies. You guys are awesome. So we're going to start off by, I know, Samantha, you've never heard about the Space Coast Women in Defense?
No, I was very excited when I saw that they were coming today.
They do a lot of good stuff. We've had them on the show before, And I was, I think my friend Sheena introduced me to them, and they do a lot of stuff with leadership nationally and locally. They recognize and goals and objectives to help people. They do a lot with scholarships, and they also have membership drives where people can get involved. But I'm going to let Sandy introduce herself and tell us how she got involved with the Space Ghost Women in Defense.
Thank you very much. I've actually been in the community now for 30 plus years. And when the Space Coast chapter of Women in Defense got started, I was one of the first members on board. So I've served in many roles with the organization in my 8 years. I'm currently the chairperson president, but I've done membership, done communications, and probably chief cook and bottle washer at times as well.
You're busy.
So it was one of those things because being a Air Force veteran, and this focuses on defense and women, it was of great interest to me when I was first approached.
Right, and Leslie, you look like you're enjoying yourself. You enjoy what you're doing. You have a passion as well, and you got involved. What got you involved in the Space Ghost Women in Defense?
So I got involved about 7 years ago, shortly after the organization was formed, and I've served in a variety of roles, secretary, treasurer. Now I'm the chair of the Awards and Recognition Committee. What gets me really passionate about working with this organization is the sense of community that we experience when we're engaging educators and students and community volunteers around our goals with mentorship and networking and generally professional development. So I really feel like it's a full spectrum of offerings to our membership.
So tell us a little bit about the chapter here on the Space Ghost. Sandy, you can.
Okay. Yeah. We've got 85 members here locally on the Space Coast chapter. Mm-hmm. We're one of 22 chapters nationwide. And we, prior to COVID, we were doing monthly meetings, but now right. We're doing quarterly virtual meetings and focusing on our pillars of mentoring, networking, and our professional development. And our big thing, as you mentioned, is raising funds for our STEM scholarships for young ladies studying in our STEM field, your science, technology, engineering, and math fields.
And you've been in existence for 8 years, but there are 22 chapters nationwide.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. So, and your mission is the three pillars, which is mentoring, networking, and professional development. Can anyone join, or do you have to be a woman one of the defense?
Over probably one-third of our members are men, mm-hmm. and we welcome them to our chapter. And we actually have at least one on our board. David Jackson is on our board, and he's with Congressman Posey's office. So we have men and women that participate. So we're happy to have anybody that has a passion for what we're doing.
Yeah,
we welcome them.
I wonder how they came up with that name, Leslie. Space Force Women in Defense. Is it just for the armed forces?
It is not just for the armed forces.
Because that's what you think when you see it. That's what a friend of mine, that's what my friend just texted. She goes, ask him if it's only for people in the armed forces.
No, it's armed forces, it's defense, it's really centered around the science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and the Brevard County economy.
Yeah, empowerment.
So, yeah, and there's tons of support.
Lots of opportunity here in the county for STEM students.
Absolutely, right. That requires, that requires all different kinds of workers, all different kinds of training. And so we really look to appeal to a broad base of local community.
So you're very inclusive.
Yes,
and the membership is not that much either.
$40 a year is all.
I remember. That's great. I think I joined once when Sheena had come on years ago on the show. I mean, for $40 and you get so much out of it. I think when people see your posts on Facebook on what you all are doing, it's like it's motivational as well, because you say, oh my God, let me get involved with this. So so tell us a little bit about the scholarships, because that's when I read about it, I was like, there's a lot of organizations, because I belong to ABWA and we also have a scholarship that we give out once a year. But yours is kind of specific.
Correct. So so over the years, we've really been proud to support a large variety of students in different science technology disciplines. We've awarded scholarships to anyone from a graduate student in an engineering program to an undergrad to last year we awarded a scholarship to a
a mom that was looking to start a second career and getting an accounting degree from a local school. So we really are excited about the variety of students that we are able to support. And, you know, we feel like the more applicants that we get, the better able we are to distribute them. So definitely, if you're a woman studying science, technology, engineering, or math, you might very well be eligible to win a scholarship from us.
So, Sandy, tell us a little bit about the letter writing campaign you guys had this year. Because, I mean, people had to be creative because of COVID-19. We could not meet. I mean, I always enjoyed attending events in Brevard to support our charities and, you know, people who are doing stuff like you guys. And if you had a luncheon, a $40 ticket is really nothing to show up. And you know it's going to a good cause. But you had to drastically change course this year. Tell us what you all did to be creative.
We did. What we've done this year is, instead of us holding our annual anniversary event where we had silent auctions and things like that, because that was a big portion of where we raised our funds at for our STEM scholarships, we kind of re-engineered. And what we did is offered a letter writing campaign to people who had supported us and attended in the past, and letting them know that they can sponsor a scholarship for $250, $500, $1,000. And these are our companies locally that support women whom are studying in these fields.
Right.
And so far, we've had a great response to it. We've been very, very pleased. There's always room for more because, again, the more we raise, the more we can award, because everything we raise in any particular year is awarded that same year. We don't hold it. We don't roll it over. By our bylaws, that's what we have to do. So if we raise $20,000 this year, we'll award $20,000 to students here locally.
Right. And you don't just give it to one person. You pick quite a few people.
Correct.
So anyone has a chance to apply and get a scholarship.
Yes.
Right?
Correct.
So how do you reach out to the people in the high schools? Because, I mean, I would think that would be where you get a lot of your referrals from.
So we've worked with, we can use help getting the word out, definitely. But we've worked with Brevard Schools Foundation. We work with individual teachers in those categories and, you know, the counselors and principals at different high schools in the area, as well as, you know, Eastern Florida State College, where Sandy works, and, you know, Florida Tech. Just wherever the students are is where we're looking to get the word out.
Right. And it must be challenging with COVID-19 because, you know, before you could even attend other events and speak to others about it, but it's hard. So you're also giving recognition to the companies for helping. Tell us a little bit about that, because people who want to help, I mean, it's not that people want to be recognized, but it looks good when you walk into a building. I know, like, when I go into our Hindu temple, you'll see all the doctors that donated to help build the temple. Dr. Gododia, bless him, is always on the one that gives a lot. But it makes you feel good, because then it inspires you. Like, if he can give so much, maybe you only have $20 to give, but you'll do it because you feel good about yourself.
Right. So one of the ways we recognize people is the awards will be named after them this year. So say, for example, we already have Fraser Engineering, who's doing a $500 scholarship. So Fraser Engineering will be recognized. We also put the logos on our website. We'll also put that in a press release as we go forward, as we get these people coming forward. And I'm sure there's others that I just don't remember off the top of my head, but I do. Happen to have a deposit to go.
Yeah, yeah. No, but it's good, though, because that's how people will come back.
Correct.
Because I know, like, you know, when I was running for office, even, it's almost like running a campaign, because they tell you to go back to the people who donated before and people who believe in you and what you're doing. Right. And that's what it's like, right? You remember that as well.
Absolutely. Do you ladies happen to know around a guesstimate of how much in scholarships you've provided in the 8 years?
So we, over the last 8 years, have provided over $30,000 in scholarships in a maximum of $1,000 increments to students in the county.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we're really excited about it as well. We feel good about it. And, you know, in the same way that COVID makes it difficult to get the word out about your fundraising and your endeavors, it has made it really, really tough on kids that are trying to go to school as well. I mean, you know, the part-time jobs have dried up. So we are really motivated this year to make sure that we have a strong fundraising season so that we can award a lot of scholarships.
I completely feel you ladies there. My son is a blessed recipient of a scholarship from the Hemophilia Foundation of Greater Florida. Mm-hmm. And I know that without that scholarship, we couldn't make it. But I've also known, since I'm a part of that organization, how hard it's been when most of your revenue comes from a gala or a walk, and you couldn't do any of these things for 2020. So as more people get vaccinated,
which thanks to Zita, I'm finally convinced that I'm going to do it myself. As more people get vaccinated, hopefully we can go back to raising money in person.
Absolutely.
Right, and I like what you guys are doing. You're giving the scholarships not just to people who are getting undergraduate and degrees, but to vocational and technical certifications as well.
Yes.
Right. That's fantastic.
It is. For our listening audience, people who are just tuning in, we're speaking with Sandy Frimmer and Leslie Tibbetts, and we're talking about the scholarship program that in general here, that the Space Coast Women in Defense are going to be giving out, and the application is online. So Sandy, tell our listeners a little bit about the STEM program, because people hear the word STEM and I know what it is, but a lot of people don't know what STEM programs are and how it affects women and children and men, especially here in Brevard.
Well, with our STEM programs, it's anything in the science, technology, engineering, and math fields. And most of those are going to be your higher paying jobs. And that's why we focus on that. Those STEM fields also go back to supporting the defense mission of the United States. And that's kind of where it leads back.
Important here on the Space Coast as
well. And on the Space Coast as well. So that's how that all ties into the women in defense and the defense industry. These are the kinds of positions that support our defense. And that's kind of where that goes at as well. One of the programs that we have funded also is a recipient of the CPT, Certified Production Technician Program, that the EDC promotes. And it's a job retraining program where somebody can go in and make at least minimum wage $15 an hour. It's a, I want to say, 15 to 20 week program. And it's something where men or women can get retrained into the certified production technician. So again, it's one of those fields that they can be retrained into. Now, our particular program is for women for the scholarships.
Right.
So that, and that's a focus, and that's a narrow thing. So that's what we do, because women are underserved in these fields.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Well, you know what? With COVID-19, we've seen where people who lost jobs, they've been encouraged to try to do something. And as you say, 15 weeks for a program?
I believe it's 15 to 20 weeks.
That's wonderful, though, because, I mean, $15 an hour, I mean, it's good money for people who don't have a job, right?
So that CPT training would be something like creating motherboards at DRS or MS Assembly, correct?
Well, they'll train you, I think. Different?
Certified production technology, and I don't know what all fields they are doing. I know Bambush locally hires them. And
so that's a generalized safety and skill program that can be applied to a number of careers or jobs where the technology company would then provide the specific training.
Right. So when you show up to work and they train you.
Yeah. When you get that certificate, it means that you have experience in, the standards that are around manufacturing and the safety that's around manufacturing. So the way I understand it, it's a generalized training, and then you would, get a job and be trained specifically for your role by the
company.
You
get a job description when you get there. They put you on the line. Yes, I would just envision.
That is amazing work.
Like you
for
were
Brevard.
Saying, Sam, you were happy that your husband got a job. At least you said $15 an hour.
Yeah, I was happy because it's SpaceX and it's got insurance.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. For someone who just lost a job, that's perfect. So tell us a little bit about the deadline to apply for the scholarship, because, I mean, for some people, so many people are homeschooling. They've got their children. They're worried about their jobs. The kids want to continue on for a STEM program, go to FIT, UF, wherever. And this scholarship they could use just about at any university.
Correct. And this one is actually paid to the students, so they can use it for whatever they need it for. You know, it could be used for housing. It could be used for
a computer,
books, for tuition. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So we pay it directly to the student. The scholarship deadline is April the 23rd. The application is on our website, www.scwid.org. We also, on that page, have information about the STEM awards, which is the educator awards as well. So again, it's important that they do submit these scholarship awards by the 23rd, because we do have to, judge them and rank them, because we'll put them in order of who will get $1,000, who will get $750, and who will get $500, till we reach our maximum of the funds
have.
We have. Correct.
Yeah.
Those in-person scholarship event, it'll be hybrid and in-person on June 23rd, location to be determined.
Right. Hopefully, everybody will probably have the vaccine by then.
Right.
So now, my friend
just texted. And we'll take safety protocols as well, Sita.
Oh, yes. I just got a text. Is this scholarship program only available to students in Brevard County, Florida?
Yes.
It is. So that's good to know, right? So now, in addition to this, you also do a lot of events where you have speakers. I noticed on your website that you're going to be having an event talking about domestic violence. Correct. With the Serene Harbor.
Correct.
So tell us a little bit about the events that your the Space Coast Women in Defense are planning to have.
So what we've done is for the last almost year now, the events we've had have been benefiting a nonprofit. So we collect a minimal fee, and then we've been giving back the proceeds from the event registration to that nonprofit. So that event is going to be on Wednesday, which would be the 24th in the evening, 5:30 to 7. It's a virtual event. It was a $10 registration fee. People have the option to purchase raffle tickets, and we'll do a little raffle thing online and stuff, and we'll make arrangements for them to pick up their raffle prize from us then. And Nikki Helton from Serene Harbor is our speaker. She'll talk about their program, their organization, and all that kind of stuff. And then we'll do some networking with whoever's online. We'll do the raffles and just kind of a way to bring everybody together in-person event.
I'm glad you're doing that.
So you ladies double team. You're not only your nonprofit for the women in defense, but you also make your business to assist other nonprofits on their journey.
Well,
that's
isn't that
amazing?
That's what it's all about, right?
Right. And do you remember some of the other organizations, Leslie, that we've helped this past year? I'm trying to, my mind's blank.
We had Devereaux on as
a guest. Nice.
And we definitely try to mix it up. Before the holidays, we did Devereaux for the holiday campaign. And we try to mix it up. We try to have a good balance of informational speakers that are educational, inspirational women, and one of the byproducts of the COVID environment and the remote environment has been you can get a guest speaker anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, so we
well, had somebody from Northrop Grumman. Do you have people from Harris?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, I guess if it's STEM, I have some really great scientist friends. If you ever need a good scientist to come on,
he
would love to. He lives in Baltimore, and he would love to. But what I like about you guys too is you know, you've been around for a while, and you have a base where people trust what you're doing. Do you find, though, that it's always the same people over and over that are volunteering to help? How can you get more people involved to help you?
I think that's one of the reasons why we're here today is to reach out that we would love volunteers for our golf tournament. We would love volunteers for our different upcoming events. You know, if nothing else, share our post online. You know, we have an active Facebook page. We have an active LinkedIn page. We're on the website, you know.
I was just going to add, there's tons of benefits to members and to attending our events. I know that over the years we've had people connect who've subsequently had job offers and, you know, had their careers enhanced. And
mixing and mingling has benefits, right?
Just the conversation that we foster has been beneficial, I know, to me and to other people that are on the board and have visited as guests and our membership. So it's one of the ways to keep the conversation going, especially when it's really tough to get out there.
Right.
I know Craig Technologies has always been helpful with the Space Coast Women in Defense.
Yes.
Yes.
They always have. Now, my son-in-law likes to golf, and they own a business, so I'll reach out to them on behalf of you guys and let them know, because he loves it. He just came back from the one in Arnold Palmer, I think. They had a big one. Oh. He just came back from that one. So so give us a website one more time and maybe a phone number, because I know there are people are retired, and a lot of people took the opportunity to retire because of COVID, and they have time. You're not asking them to give you 40 hours a week. You're saying, hey, if you could give us 3 hours a month, we'd take it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, and different fields as well. It doesn't have to be just in ushering people. You have different categories where people can help as well.
Right, because we'll have everything from reviewing the scholarship applications. We have somebody helping us with press releases at the moment. We have the golf tournament. We have public relations. There's always a place we can use somebody to help us, because our board is an all-volunteer board.
Yes.
And, you know, we all have day jobs. So any help we can get, we would appreciate it.
Yeah, so and on the scholarship application, what specifically are you looking for when you look at the application, when you're reading it to award the scholarships?
So we look for a well-balanced student. We look for someone that's had grades, someone that's had community involvement, someone that may have worked and had some challenges, you know, getting through high school or getting into college. It's a well-rounded application that really asks a lot of questions about the candidate, so that we can get as awarders of the scholarship so we can get a good feel for the student and what their goals are. So it's not just about, you know, grades or your specific major. It's really about, you know, your story.
Yeah. And, you know, Samantha, the Space Coast Women in Defense have given out over $30,000 in STEM scholarships to date. But, Sandy, how does it make you feel when you see these numbers and you see the student receive that check?
I am very, very proud of our organization. I'm proud of our community for the support that we've received with our organization. And I'm just excited to see what we're going to do next. I mean, I'd like to be able to give $10,000 out this year.
Yeah.
You know, that's my personal goal. So, I mean, if we can raise $10,000.
CARES Act. Go to the county. Go to your city.
Same question for you, because I know, you know, when I give a little bit to someone, I feel so good. I feel like, thank you, God, that I have this ability to have a job and be able to breathe and be alive on the planet at this time to make somebody feel good. It doesn't matter the amount. It's your heart, right? Whatever people can give, they can go on your website and they can donate as well. They don't have to wait for a fundraiser. If somebody wants to donate to the Women in Defense, they can just go online and donate, correct?
Yes, I believe we have a donate button right on the website. And on the different events, there's a donate button on each of the events as well.
Right. And how does that make you feel, Leslie? Because you also have a full-time job and you're giving up your time as well with Space Coast Women in Defense.
So one of my favorite parts of the process is end-to-end working with the businesses that want to get involved and help us, then giving out the scholarships, and then oftentimes the scholarship recipients will come back and give us an update, or they'll get in touch by mail or by email and just let us know how they're doing, you know, what they did with the scholarship money and how it helped them. And then we're able to bring those stories back to our sponsors. So right. I really like the full circle that we're able to complete with our organization.
Right. And Sandy, are you partnering with any businesses in town? I'm sure there are businesses, would you like more to partner with the woman in Space Coast Women in Defense?
Well, one of our local companies is SCIS in Melbourne that has been a sponsor. Kegman has been a sponsor. Fraser Engineering has been a sponsor, and many, many years they've been sponsoring the events and partnering with us. So we have our board members, we have our you know, folks like Merrill Lynch. They used to host our events in person and provide our facilities at no cost. So we've got quite a few local community leaders that are supporting us.
You should do a huge potluck, and then I could bring my famous curry chicken.
Absolutely.
That would be good. So I see you're shaking your head. I mean, this is awesome. You know, we have, I don't know how many nonprofits in Brevard, but not all are doing stuff like this.
No,
where
this
people
is amazing.
Believe in them to give money to kids to further their education in STEM. So how does it add up in Brevard for the volunteers that are spread thin, right? We have so many volunteers and they're spread thin. How do you keep your volunteers?
Well, we do offer Bright Future Scholars.
Good throw in there.
So
good one.
So we're looking for volunteers for any time that we're putting together an event, preparing, doing outreach. You know, we
you throw a little red meat.
Yeah, oh, we do. We have students volunteer for our events, and I think that you're right. There's fatigue out there, but there's also a sense of community whenever we do our remote events or our in-person events. There's a sense of community, and we do have new people coming to our events, mostly through word of mouth and just different business connections. We get new people at our events, and we work hard to engage them and to keep them motivated to work toward the common goal, which is, you know, again, the three pillars. We try to mentor people. We try to offer professional development, and we are pretty passionate about our scholarship program.
So, Sandy, have you reached out to the good people over at Green Gables? I'm helping them. You know, we are trying to save Green Gables, and they've got the open space where they are asking people to come forward and host events there. And you know, they've got a nice place for parking. It's a great location in downtown Melbourne. And they're looking for publicity as well, but they're partnering with people as well. I mean, they've met so many people on our show when they come here. It's amazing what they're doing in the community. I would strongly suggest.
We have not, but we would be very happy to reach out to them, because we are looking for a fairly decent-sized facility for our June event.
Well, they've got the open area.
Yeah, that's what we need.
Yes, right. you should speak with them there. I'll also send a note to them.
Send us their contact information. Yes,
I will. And Paul, I'm sure we've had other people on the show that we know that we could partner them up with. Even in your church, if you could tell them about them. You know, people are always looking to do something good, especially when it comes to education, you know. So, Samantha, and you could do something with the Hemophilia Foundation as well.
Absolutely. We'd love to support them.
And we'd love to support you guys, too.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, ladies.
Well, that's what it's all about, right? Like the lady who was here before talking about the dogs, it's a different kind of passion. But she took her passion into helping the dogs, and you guys are helping the ladies and the young men and people who want to further their studies into STEM, which God knows we need that now more than ever. We've seen what Zoom did for people during COVID-19. So let's transition a little bit away from that. How are you guys faring at the college with what happened with COVID? A lot of Zoom, a lot of people online?
A lot of Zoom. I was on two meetings actually this morning. One was a regional staff meeting. The other was some training that I had. We were actually remote until the first of the year, and now we have our splitting our time half and half in the office, half at home. So I've always got to remember, okay, what do I need for tomorrow's meetings, or what do I need, and making sure I have that with me, access to my desktop stuff. And I've been remotely challenged at times as well with technology, if Zoom didn't work or internet or whatever. So it's interesting.
Have you had, like, were the students listening actually to science using common sense and wearing their mask?
Oh, yeah, it's mandatory on campus.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't say enough about how Eastern Florida has grown and how proud it makes so many of us here in Brevard to have such a gem amongst us. Are you teaching there as well?
I am not.
You're not. But you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's almost like Brevard, we were just proud of the King Center, right? And now we've got a college where people can have their four-year degree, like your son attends. And you always put nice things about Eastern Florida.
They're amazing. The programs, Trio is a lifesaver. Eric Moss is the... My, I love that man on campus. And they have so many different things that they have literally made sure that he has support services. He has tutors 2 to 4 hours a week on a Zoom or on
their
a call with him.
Their resources are very good.
Their resources, exactly.
And, their resources are meant to help you succeed no matter what disability you may have.
And all the people there have a good heart in that they want to see people succeed. It doesn't matter if you're a student coming from a high school or you're a person who lost a job and just trying to reprogram yourself into something new. And we feel it in the community. So Sandy Frimmer and Leslie Tibbetts, thanks for coming on. Give us a website one more time for the Space Coast Women in Defense, where people can donate their time, energy, and effort and get involved in these scholarship programs.
www.scwid.org.
Thank you for being here. I really appreciate you all taking the time to come.
Thanks for having us.
And thank you, Sam, for coming. And our thanks goes out to Wendy Johnson with A Touch of Gray. Paul, great show today.
The preceding program may not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of WWBC. You're listening to WWBC, COCO, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, COCO, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.